Hi, everyone. Welcome to American Truth Finders. I'm Neil Douglas, and I'm your host for the show. Folks, we got another great show. I know I tell you that every week, but we do, and we're not going to waste any time. We're going right to our guest tonight, and our guest is Ilana Freeland, and our special secret guest tonight is Billy Hayes. And I'm going to tell you that we're doing a follow-up on 2 weeks ago, our ionized atmosphere and space fence future. I'm not going to do a lot of talking and asking questions, ladies and gentlemen, but I am going to ask a few questions. And first of all, welcome, Ilana, and welcome, Billy, and thank you for joining me on this show.
Thanks for having me, Neil.
Thank you, Neil.
You bet. Thank you so much. If you two don't mind, I'm just going to start right off. I have a couple questions I really want to ask, but I want you to expand as much as you can because I don't want to be one to interrupt you, okay? This is just far too important. Billy, I'd like to start with you, if I could, and ask you, why HARP is like an electron tube? Can you give an answer to our audience about that? Because I'm sure they don't even know what I'm talking about.
Okay. I'm sure everybody understands how an electron tube works or what it consists of. It consists of a heater, which heats up the electrons inside of an amplifier tube. It maintains a vacuum or near vacuum in that tube. It has a plate voltage. It has a B-plus power supply. It has grids in it. When you're talking about HARP, all those components are used in HARP too, just like an electron tube. Therefore, you might suggest in a way that HARP is actually using our atmosphere and our ionosphere in the same bias as an electron tube amplifies signals or electrical components.
So this is what's behind when we say that the atmosphere is ionized. This is what we're talking about. And when, Billy, you say HARP, the High Frequency Active Auroral Research Project, is the old meaning of it. The new meaning seems to be HARP technology that would be ionospheric heaters, etc. Would you agree with that?
I would agree with that totally. But no longer is it just ionospheric heaters. Yeah. It's atmospheric heaters.
Such as?
What was done as an ionic heater before, now with the indulgence of chemical components of metallic minute particles in the air, now the upper atmosphere itself can be used in a similar way that the ionosphere was used before.
Right. And for people who don't know what those nanoparticulates are, they're basically conductive metals like aluminum, barium, strontium, lithium, etc. And these are now coming out of the jet planes that people keep calling contrails. Right, Billy?
Affirmative.
So what is... Oh, go ahead.
I was just going to ask you quickly because a lot of people are when you mention those, Ilana, the last one that you mentioned, the lithium.
Yes.
I wanted to quickly bring that one up just real short shortly. What is the real danger of lithium at this point with the chemtrails?
Yeah, let's talk about that, Billy, about what just is going on in Oregon right now with lithium. Here's my part of the story. I heard from a Facebook friend, Ann Fillmore, several weeks ago, that she had received a letter, and another anti-chemtrails activist had received a letter from an anonymous whistleblower. And that whistleblower works for the Oregon Weather Service. So he is what you would call an insider. He was warning Anne regarding the fact that he had discovered that the Willamette Valley in Oregon was being doused with lithium laced with psychotronic drugs. And he wanted to make sure his conscience was bothering him. He wanted to make sure that as many people as possible knew that, because he realized that many people would be experiencing symptoms, along with children and animals. So that had come through, and Anne was trying to figure out what to do with it when we had this incident in Oregon.
I was just going to ask you about that.
Yeah, the shooter in Oregon. Billy, do you want to start that out?
I don't know where to begin on it. Go ahead, Alana. You're going to have to carry this one on through.
Well, when the news came across that this young man had shot up 10 people at the Umpqua Community College, I immediately went to my Oregon maps to look and see where this college was. And lo and behold, it is in that zone of possible lithium experimentation with psychotronics. And so I immediately contacted Anne, and we began to get reports from various people around in that area that they were having strange experiences, altered consciousness. In one case, a man ran out of his house in a neighborhood and was yelling and shaking his fist at the sky and as though he were appealing to something up there, and then lost consciousness. So what we're wondering is if this young man at this college was affected by what our government sees fit to experiment on us with, namely the lithium with the psychotronic drugs. So, Billy, weren't you saying to me on Skype at one point that you were kind of checking the newscasts and seeing the faces of some of the young people at the college?
Roger, when they started showing pictures of the students exiting the college area and getting ready to go to safety areas, they had their eyes had a glaze like they were stoned. They all, you know, of course, a lot of them were in shock, but a lot of them weren't. But almost all of them that you saw that were exiting the building and going to safety areas just had that glazed look on their face, like they were spellbound or they were out there. And in the conversations, you could tell they were having troubles. Even the ones that did not see anything or hear anything, who were only being affected by being in the situation, they even had problems putting words together.
Can I ask a quick question about that, Ilana and Billy? Uh-huh. Obviously, if this could be the case, because of what Billy just described, what you described, how fast does this lithium or this whatever it is that they're doing act on these people? Because, I mean, could it be a slow process and then a fast process, or both?
Well, the way I look at it, and Billy can chime in and correct me if I'm not right, is the lithium cloud itself was laid over the coastal area there in Oregon. Okay, so then they have the capability now of pinning a particular cloud, because this is not a moisture cloud per se. This is a chemical cloud. It's an artificial construct. It's a bit of plasma, a bit of moisture, some particulate matter, and they can take that and actually pin it over an area. And then what happens is, if they want it truly activated, is they just have to zap it either from off coast or on coast. They could use NexRads, they could use cell phone towers, they could use a variety of instruments, and they zap it, and it activates all of that, ionizes it so that it's really active. And now people are going to be affected because they're breathing this air with this in it. What do you think, Billy? Billy?
I'm here. I'm trying to get back to you.
Okay, let me throw something in on this as far as the lithium, Ilana. Would this have anything to do with the storm back east and the, you know, what's going on in the, you know, like in the Midwest or the middle of the country? I mean, as far as the weather and the storms that are brewing up?
Right. I mean, well, Billy and I have the advantage of I'm out here in the Pacific Northwest, right near the coast. I'm in Puget Sound. And Billy is right plunk in the middle of Kansas and the very middle of the United States. So we get to see this. It's actually one weather system that is actually moved east via the jet stream that is being manipulated. And I would say, just to answer simply your question, no, it's not necessarily connected to what's going on in Oregon. Okay. But I think the important part is, before we move on to that storm, because I would like for people to see how this electrostatic battery that we're now breathing is used for a variety of functions. And we've already pointed to the fact that the seeming fact that Oregon may be being experimented on with psychotropics and using the lithium as a really good conductor for that. This seems to me, in my studies of this technology, to be how it goes. They are using various areas for various experimentation. And what they were using before, in the last few years, since I've been paying attention, and believe me, this has been going on for 2 decades, but I've noticed they used it for a lot of hurricanes. They used it for a lot of tornadoes. They had a lot of storms. There's ice nucleation. I mean, if you have an atmosphere that is electrified and ready to go, you can use it for many, many agendas and the experiments that will further those agendas. So the one in Oregon is obviously psychotronic, has to do with mind control. And right away, we see this young man, and I know he killed people, but to me, this young man was probably in some serious way a mind control victim, and is like a gun in someone else's hand. The question is, in whose hand, and what relationship did that young man's mind have, and whatever he was on, have with what was coming down in the air, and he was breathing it as well as everyone else was breathing it. So just to make clear that these experiments go on, and now we can move to yet another experiment, but in this case, they have done a lot with weather, as you know. Most people think of chemtrails and HARP technology. The next thought they're going to have is weather manipulation. But there are many agendas going on with this technology. So, Billy, what were you telling me on Skype the other day about what the sky was like in Kansas?
Okay. During the preceding of the first storm that moved up into the East Coast, there was an inversion that was created out in the Gulf of Mexico. It just popped up out of nowhere. And it was mixing with the El Nino that was coming in Southern California and across the southern states into Kansas. When the two met here in Kansas, they were forced to move to the southeast. And during that period of time, it was making a range of prismatic clouds that were indicating, if you look at a prismatic cloud, number one, it gives you a analysis of what is in that cloud.
You mean the chemicals?
Right, the chemicals that are in that cloud. Just a raw eyeball, you're looking at a spectrometer result, and a spectrometer is capable of discerning all the chemicals that are in that cloud by looking for missing combinations of colors.
Billy, what would a person see if they're looking at a prismatic cloud? What kind of patterns?
They're rainbow colors, but they're filled in between with alternate colors of that color.
Uh-huh.
Usually separated with a yellow band that separates each one of those in between, giving you a spectrographic image similar to a rainbow, only an outline of that area of the cloud.
So that's what you were seeing over Kansas for a while?
Absolutely. And I've been looking at some pictures that are posted on the contrail of the area that we've been talking about.
Uh-huh.
And one of the most likely candidates that I could was concerned with was being able to see that there was an indulgence of lithium being shown in the spectrographs.
No kidding. And the lithium is it yellow?
Lithium is of a purple color.
Purple. Wow.
It is a purple banded yellow, red, purple banded yellow.
When you were looking at the contrail, which, by the way, for people who don't know, is out of Australia and New Zealand, where were these clouds coming from? Did they tell you where they were from?
They were in the area of Oregon that we were talking about earlier.
All right, where the shooter happened.
Right, it was posted by your friend.
Right, by Ann Fillmore.
All right.
Okay.
This is really getting interesting, and I think that I don't want to interrupt you guys because you're doing such a fantastic job of explaining this, but this lithium idea is really, really concerning to me, and I'm sure to our audience.
Well, lithium, yes, even in electronics, lithium is one of the most quantitative metals for inducing electrical charges, and it is through that ideal that lithium creates an imbalance in the brain. That is, it's utilized by psychiatry all the time. In fact, if you go to the nut house, the first thing they do is shoot you up with Thorazine and lithium.
Even though you're not manic depressive, Billy?
Yeah, if they have a problem with you, you're going down.
Wow.
Really?
No, it's almost instantaneous. You can't count to 10 before it hits you.
Wow. So, before we go on with lithium, let's go on with the weather. Okay, so you pointed out to me that a north-south wall was formed with these chemical trails, and that's unusual in Kansas, that it's north-south?
Yeah, we normally get east-west or northeast to northwest traffic through here. Almost all the commercial traffic and military traffic is over Kansas is absolutely that. There's hardly any, in this portion of Kansas, there's hardly anything that is in between the north to the south to go to from here. But for the last week and a half, 2 weeks, we have had chemtrailing that was specifically north and south or just a little bit off of northwest to southeast.
So how does that relate to what's going on back east in the weather system of the storm that they've been brewing and the hurricane?
Well, this was setting up a pattern of layers and layers and layers of these clouds that were stacking on top of each other, making them capable of being electrified by the means that they can induce with weather that's moving in. The movement of weather itself pushing this creates a electrical charge similar to that, like when a lightning storm starts, only this charge does not dissipate until electronically detonated.
Yeah. So meanwhile, back east, what was going on off the coast of the Carolinas?
Well, this built up a ridge from all the way down in Florida to pass all the way up on the intercoastal area of the East Coast. And for a week, they got disastrous rains last week. And it set up a ridge line that of a low-pressure system that was sucking in moisture off the Atlantic back into the eastern shores and implementing more moisture. So the saying is, everything was flooded at that time. And as this storm came in, it was held back until it got to just north of Florida. And then it started going north and pushed away just off the coast of the United States, where the bands, the first band came through and overlashed and drug itself into the United States, creating the situation we're seeing yesterday and tonight.
Can I ask you a quick question, both of you? Is this possible? And I'm asking this because I'm, of course, not the I don't have the knowledge that you do. Is this system that you're talking about, Billy and Ilana, is this a controlled system?
That's what we were seeing in out of the Gulf of Mexico, was a system that just propped up out of nowhere, just like it was a predestined tropical storm out of nothing. It just popped out in the middle of the Gulf and indulged with what was coming in through from the West Coast with the El Nino. Excuse me, I'm going to have to stop for a minute.
Yeah, so if it's coming from nowhere, what Billy means is, you know, there's some sort of electronic zapping going on from probably in that area. I mean, when I think of down in the Gulf, I think immediately of Puerto Rico, where the Arecibo Observatory is, and that is one unit that can be used. There's a whole NEXRAD, like standing like sentinels across from the southwest to the northeast in the east of the Mississippi. Those can be used to shepherd a storm along. And because there are different points, it used to be that people would say, oh, well, HARP must have caused that. Well, it's never one ionospheric heater or one radar installation or one observatory. It's always at least two that have to converge beams on the target area. And then you trigger stimulation, you stimulate all those metal conductives that are in the chemtrail, and then you can start moving that storm in the direction you want. But it is always surprising, and one of the problems I find, Billy's just a genius at finding the right places where you can actually view satellite footage that has not been tampered with. But in many cases, the weather reporting instruments have been bought up by the Rothschilds, by Raytheon Corporation. So it's very difficult to know, such as this. Gee, it just came out of nowhere. Why can't we see where the beam originated?
Well, that's what, you know, this is very interesting because, you know, I'm sure that most of our audience, like myself, have no idea that this even existed, Ilana or Billy.
Oh, I can't believe you didn't know it existed. I mean, you know,
let me rephrase that. I'm talking about the technology that you know. I mean, yes, I'm aware of it. Obviously, I've known about, you know, about this, you know, for quite a few years. I'm talking about how in depth with the knowledge that you both have about, you know, about this whole spectrum of information that you're giving us.
Of engineering. It's engineering. It's weather engineering. And it's not a no-brainer. I mean, it is sophisticated. It is. But the ionizing of our atmosphere is huge in this, and that's where, you know, Billy and I come from completely different backgrounds. I'm an academic, I'm an intellectual researcher. I'm very good at that. I have an undergraduate background of biology, but this is all I'm learning as I go, as I write, as I research, and share with other researchers who have been very impressive. There's quite a few scientists who have left mainstream science because it's a con job, and they want to really know things, and so I'm in touch with some of them. Billy is a godsend for me because Billy has worked on all those towers. He worked for different defense contractors in order to build the towers for the military and intelligence community. So he has the hands-on practical, and it has played havoc with his health, I might add. Whereas for me, I'm real smart, and if I can study something and put it together slow but sure, I can come up with a mental picture of how this technology that I'll probably never lay my hands on, how it works, and how it works for different agendas. Right now we're talking about that latest storm back east, but we could just as well, as perhaps in the other show we did, go into what happened with Hurricane Katrina, Hurricane
right.
Sandy,
right.
Haiti, all of those. They all have the same fingerprints on them of this technology that the geoengineering mainstream articles say, oh, well, we're thinking about doing it. Well, no, we've been doing it for at least two decades. And it will continue, and my guess is once the Paris conference happens in late November, early December, just like the UN conference we had recently in New York, there's going to be a lot of things that are set in motion that up till now have been sort of covert and criminal. And I'm very concerned about that because this goes much further than weather, but you can see how this weather can be used for the sake of making money for capitalists. I mean, you destroy in the Carolinas on the coast, well, they're going to be looking for someone to rebuild. There's all sorts of disaster capitalism connections in weather disasters, and there's many things that are happening through these weather disasters. Billy, what did you want to add?
We also need to include into that the terraforming of the Earth, manual terraforming of the Earth, being caused by these machines and the weather indulgent changes.
Yes.
Which includes earthquakes, promoting earthquakes. Earthquakes are going to happen. You know, it's a matter of nature. But man has made it to their design as a weapon to try to involve themselves in creating that trigger to initiate things that are already in the process of happening to happen
yes.
when they want it to happen.
Yes. And in the same vein, we should just mention, if we're done with the weather back east, did we finish that?
You did a great job on this. I would like to move on to a couple other questions. You know, actually, we've already gone a half an hour, and I haven't even gotten through half the questions I wanted to ask you both.
Well, can we just add one more thing? I'm determined to have Billy do this. Billy,
yes, please
explain
do.
How we've got to talk a little about the frequency and the pulsing because – I'm thinking of how HAARP has been retooled. It was shut down. Probably a lot of people heard that. It has been retooled. So a couple words on that. And then how the fracking for the big oil and the wind farms play into this technology.
Okay. First, we have the understanding that HAARP is no longer HAARP. It's HAARP technology. HAARP has been shut down and taken over by the University of Alaska Fairbanks. And with a change of frequencies, they have engaged into raising the frequencies, just as the Space Fence has raised their frequencies, as Superdorn has raised their frequencies. All these pulsing transmitters around the world have been changed in the last year, since the period of time that HAARP was put down and went cold. And Space Fence went down the same exact day.
Yeah.
And Space Fence was announced that it was coming back on the air under the pretense that Lockheed took up a $875 million dollar contract, and Raytheon took up a $360 million contract to bridge all the information associated with all the ex-HARP associates, associated tools,
right,
to involve themselves into the new space fence, slant SSS, which is Space Surveillance Systems, which is a jargon that the Navy placed on the systems.
Now, right. Now, are all the government agencies, military agencies involved with this, Billy?
All of them are now. The thing was before, each one of the militaries had their own system. Each one of the three-lettered government agencies that were involved in this collection of data and information around the world were all involved in this in different ways, and they were hiding information from each other, which, just like Benghazi, all the information was days, weeks, months behind, because nobody was providing updated information because each one was keeping their little secret.
Right. But
this has been a problem in the past, and this is what the military is up to right now, is trying to get it where it's instantaneous, where information is there through the new supercomputers. It's in layers. You know how layers work on graphs and stuff and pictures. You can. It's available in layers to those who are in need of that information instantaneously. Which coincides with the Patriot missile system, the Iron Curtain that Israel's got. All this will be intermixed with the new space fence SSS.
Okay, let me real quickly ask you, because we are going to get into space fence future. How does this connect with the technology that everybody in this world today is involved with, whether it's our cell phones or televisions, the internet, whatever? Even, you know,
okay, the whole gist of this SSS is to be able to collect all Earth data, all Earth digital data, in one place to be as a record where they can go through and sift through it and look at anything they want to, whether it be your phone calls or data being transmitted between manufacturers. License plate numbers, everything, anything that's got a digital access to it will be filed as information stored.
That's serious.
Serious. That's what Snowden was trying to tell us, that they're making a system of indexing all this information where if they got a time and period and who was calling who, they can go to that digital numerical value, and pick out that information and listen to just that portion.
Is this what you call the Snowden syndrome?
That's what I call the Snowden syndrome.
That's Billy Hayes made that term.
I like it. I mean, you know, we talked about it briefly, and like I said, I'm not going to interrupt you guys as much as I have, and I didn't mean to, but you guys are just covering so much, and it's just filling my brain with so much, and I just know my audience is doing the same thing. Go ahead.
Wait, Billy still hasn't talked a little about the fracking and the wind farms, because
I was just going to say that.
People don't understand how they're connected to this whole system.
Well, as I was explaining earlier about how the electron tube works, mm-hmm. Well, you have to have energy. You have to have electrical energy in order to make this new system work into our atmosphere. Whereas before, they were using HARP as being the superpower to evolve into plasmatic effects and creating a amplified system and a reflected dish itself in the ionosphere. Now, with the atmosphere being at a
ionized.
Yeah, my son just stepped in and collateralized me. The new space fence
For the fracking and the wind farms and their role in the space fence, because they also are pulsing. Is that right?
Right. The energy of the Earth creates a crystalline effect that is electrical in sense. Anytime you put pressure on a crystal, it gives out electrical energy. Oil wells can pick this up. The well stem goes down in the ground and makes a perfect conductor to bring this up to the above towering features when they're drilling. And that drill acts as just like an antenna above ground. And this dissipates the energy that's in the Earth into the air, creating a a clistronic, cyclotronic
resonance.
Resonance. Almost like a mini tornado that connects into our atmosphere, into outer space.
Yeah.
This is also how the Aurora Borealis works, by the way. It is the dissipation of this cyclotronic effect that kind of funnels in energy from the sun or out of space.
And then the wind farm.
And the wind farms, as these wind farms churn, not only are they developing energy with a generator, but the propellers are made of fiberglass over top a aluminum shank. And this is a system that can dissipate static electricity. As that propeller moves through the air, it picks up huge amounts of static electricity. And every time a blade passes the lower pendulum, it discharges the two blades in the upper portion of the circle, the rotation. So there are three pulses every time there's a rotation, one rotation of that propeller. This is a pulse. This is a static pulse that is ionizing the air above in the atmosphere. And when you have aluminum particulates, this acts as a storage, like a large capacitor. And when you have something like lithium, which is the most fantastic electrical storage or battery that you could have, it is huge. And when you have these in layers, your atmosphere in layers, all this charging is going on through the atmosphere, stacking it up all the way up into the upper atmosphere, into the area that is considered a vacuum or near vacuum. The higher you go in altitude, the less atmospheric pressure you have. Therefore, you are entering the realm of changing our atmosphere into the process of being a worldwide electron tube instead of just one portion of the ionosphere being used.
And important to emphasize, Billy, that all of these pulses of the fracking, of the wind farms, et cetera, all have been fine-tuned to the same pulse. Is that true?
Absolutely. And to the lower realm of 2 hertz to 14 hertz.
Right.
Are the Earth frequencies. And these frequencies are tunable to everything on this Earth, every living thing, every molecule on this Earth has an assigned frequency that can be pulsed with. And those, and you really can't call them frequencies because it's a pulse, but it's at a specific rate.
Can I jump in real quick and ask a question for both of you?
Go ahead.
With all this frequency and this pulse that you're talking about, how dangerous is this to the individual people out there across the world?
This is to the point, like Alana said, they have fine-tuned this where they can tune into each individual atom, each individual brain cell. In fact, each the cyclotronic spin, when you look at it, it has a DNA form. And as they get higher in these frequencies into the micron wavelengths,
yeah,
which is the above terahertz, the next step above terahertz, they will be getting to where they can move individual portions of the atom or individual traits
DNA.
of RNA.
Yep, RNA.
Oh my God.
Yes, and this is the point that to understand about the space fence, SSS, is that we are now, you can see, because they're fine-tuning the pulses to be similar, to be the same, it's as though they're turning our entire planet and its atmosphere into a machine in which we are the components. Right. And that is the key to the next book I'm writing. Go ahead, Billy.
You know, when the space fence and all this technology started back in 1961 that I was involved with, it was all in the realm of the frequencies of 20 kilohertz, and then it went up to 20 megahertz. And in the late 50s, they were doing 70 megahertz. In 1961, when we started doing the first pause, what's they call that?
The pause thing, yeah. Do you want the name of it?
Pave pause.
Yeah.
System that I helped install in Eglin and Warner Robins, Beale Air Force Base, all around the world. There, you know, we had 12 of them at one time in the United States, and then there were ones that were not talked about out in foreign countries, but they were all in the realm of just above the FM band. This was they started this before there was FM radio, and it was the frequency back then was 108.50. And in 1965, they changed that because, you know, people started listening to FM radio. They changed that to, they doubled that frequency, and they went to 216.98. And in 2013, when they shut down the space fence and took a pause, they didn't absolutely shut it down. They just stopped transmitting. The receiving systems were still involved on those frequencies. When they came back on, they were up in the 4 gigahertz. And this last year, all of a sudden, now we're looking at frequencies into the 20 gigahertz.
Those are billions, by the way, Neil.
Yeah, I'm fascinated with this because, you know, you did answer my question that I was going to answer or ask you was about the frequencies of just regular radio, and you just answered it for me. Thank you.
Right. Well, the 216 is just above channel 13 on your TV. What they did is double the frequency, and to get it away from the civilian frequencies into the military frequencies. It was wedged between FM and aviation frequencies at 108.50. They doubled that frequency, which put it just above channel 13 and right into the realm of military aviation frequencies.
So what you're saying, Billy, is that they keep upping the ante on the frequencies that our nervous systems and our bodies have to put up with.
Absolutely, absolutely. And what it is it isn't the frequency. It's the pulsation that they, right, they pulse these frequencies at a specific rate that is just as radar does. Radar has is not only the frequency, but it's the pulse, how long the pulse is up and how often that pulse happens. This is what controls our bodies. Our bodies, our heart has a separate frequency that it is attuned to by our brain. And when you get to these frequencies and are able to deal with the synapses of what's going on in the brain, then you can control the brain. Not of just humans, but of all things that are alive. In fact, it involves anything that is made up of atoms.
Yes. So is this part of the space fence that you're talking about, future that you're talking about, Ilana and Billy?
This is what we are talking about, yes.
But not necessarily the future. We're there.
I think we mentioned this a little bit last show that we did. Is this like a band around the globe or the world of some sorts? I mean, can you explain that into any kind of detail?
Well, Billy, you go ahead regarding the metals that they're taking up.
Okay. What I'm seeing is, this chemical involvement of our atmosphere, of amending our atmosphere with all these metals and chemicals that are being pushed up by what was before chemtrails. But over the last 20 years, it has involved all the launchings of these rockets that are being put up. Every time there's a rocket put up, it is there is a solid boost rocket fires off a thermite, a super thermite ignition that involves making thrust. And with that comes these nanoparticles of aluminum and lithium that they are leaving in that plume all the way into space. What I'm seeing now is as this, the centrifugal force of as the world turns, boy, this sounds like a soap opera. As the world turns, this is forming like a band or a disc, similar to what we see around Saturn, the rings of Saturn, around the Earth. Only it's not visible to the optics. It will be visible to radio frequencies, to high radio frequencies, to radar frequencies, to pulse frequencies.
So it's a direct control of anything and everything. It's got, like you said, module, the human brain, no matter what it is, it's going to have that kind of control.
That's what they're attempting to do. Yes.
Oh my gosh.
That's what, the father of, Harp was talking
Bernard
about.
Bernard Eastland. Yeah.
Right. His statement was that he couldn't go any further, that this was getting so dangerous. And within that year that he made that statement, he died.
I remember.
Fred Bell made some statements on the air with, I forget the program, the governor from Minnesota, the wrestler.
Jesse.
Right. He was making a statement with him on one of Jesse Ventura's programs. And within 2 weeks, Fred Bell died in a motel, just blank, just fell down and died.
Yeah.
Just as did my wife.
I'm sorry, Elon, I just wanted to quickly say, so this is something that could happen to anybody at any time, and especially, Billy, I don't mean to bring this up, but even especially you, because of the fact you are so deeply involved with this.
Absolutely. I am the bearer of bad news that I have been through this already and have survived so far because I received burns from all these instruments that I was working on, the HARP instruments, the SPX instruments, the PayPal's instruments, the Space Fence instruments. I received high frequency burns, high output wattage burns that are resonant to those frequencies. And so when they use combinations of certain frequencies, I have seizures to the point that I've had a heart stoppage. Go ahead.
Yeah, so your body is responding to those pulses.
Absolutely. It's no secret. I've been on the air when I've been hit before, and people were listening to medics trying to get me on a helicopter, giving me CPR, trying to get me to the next best hospital that's nearby. Unfortunately, out in Kansas, they're far and few between.
And at this point, I want to just put in that we won't have time to talk about it today, but there are two other biggies involved in the Space Fence SSS, and those are the artificial intelligence, AI, that we heard about regarding the Jade Helm 15 that took place. AI is certainly the direction we're going in, where entire regions of the country, entire technologies, corporations, factories will all be run by artificial intelligence, and also the role of CERN in the largest Hadron Collider in the border of Switzerland and France. Both of these have a huge role to play in the space fence. But at the same time, I think of what Tesla said, and this is all Tesla technology. Years ago, before he died, he said, he made clear that plasma physics experimentation, now that we're seeing now in underway in our ionized atmosphere, has in mind very grand godlike schemes and dreams. And the way he put it were these: to precipitate matter from ether, to create anything from matter and energy, to alter the earth, to control the weather, to govern the earth's movements through space, to produce new stars with heat and light, and to originate and develop life in infinite forms. I mean, that is what Tesla foresaw at the turn of the 19th into the 20th century for this technology.
That's right. That's right. And I got to tell you, we've got about roughly in the neighborhood of maybe 5 minutes before we got to get off the air. But I want to ask both of you real quick, because we don't, as you said, Ivana, we can't get into much more without going into a lot of detail, and I don't want anybody to miss a darn thing. Is it possible? I'm going to put you guys on the spot, because I think this is so important, and I don't know what your time schedules are, but maybe, because I've got a guest for my next show already lined up, a show lined up for in 2 weeks. But I'm wondering about the other things that you want to go into, like CERN and the artificial intelligence, et cetera, Ivana and Billy. I mean, is it possible we can do another show that will go into more depth about this in the space fence future? And the reason I'm saying this is because there's so much to touch. And I know you're writing a book, Ivana, and you're also just so active in what you're doing. And I my hat's off to you, young lady. And Billy, the same to you. You're, you know, with your health the way it is, you're just one of the bravest people I know. And I admire both of you. So is it possible that maybe we could get together again and do another show and go deeper and further into this?
Well, Billy, what do you think?
If I'm still alive, yeah, I'll be here.
Yeah, say, I guess same here.
Well, I'm not trying to put you on the spot to say yes or no. We'd have to make the schedule to where it's convenient for you, because Ivana, I know you are writing this book, and I want to mention your book that you your other book, Chemtrails, Harp, and Full Spectrum Dominance of the Planet Earth, and I got to tell you, I've got the book in front of me. It's great. People need to read it. I don't care how, whether you're smart or not. You know, you need to read it. And I got mine through Amazon, and I think you can still get it through Amazon, Ivana.
Oh yes. And I, you know, when I was on Coast to Coast a year ago last summer, Billy heard me, and wasn't it true, Billy? You saw the book and you thought, "Wow, this is like she read my mind."
Absolutely, I could not believe that everything that I've been saying for years and years and years, she was putting in a book.
Well, yeah. we got about a minute and a half, kids. I got to tell you what, and I encourage everybody to follow Ivana Freeland on Facebook. You can go to Facebook, type in Ivana Freeland, and I'm going to tell you what, she is the busiest lady I know, the busiest person I know on Facebook. And,
and I'm also on Facebook, too.
And Bill, I was just going to say, and Billy's on Facebook, and you can follow Billy. I'm on Facebook under Neil Douglas, and you can also follow me through my my radio show, AmericanTruthFinders.com, or you can hear it. And archives for the podcasts are usually there by Tuesday, sometime Tuesday. And we podcast so many places, people. Twitter, I'm on Twitter, LinkedIn. It goes to iTunes. It goes all over. So anyway, I'm not trying to cut both of you guys off because I was given the warning we were down to 2 minutes, and that was a minute ago. So anyway, time is up. Ilana Freeland, Billy Hayes, I want to thank you so much. And we will. I won't pin you down, but let's maybe we can get together in the future and maybe continue our discussion on this. How's that sound?
All right. Great. Thanks, Neil.
Thank you, Ilana. Billy, thank you, and take care of your health, buddy.
Okay, bye.
Bye.
Bye now. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, this is Neil Douglas. This has been American Truth Finders. And again, you can go to our Facebook site, Neil Douglas, and you'll find us. And I think I'm probably just about getting ready to go overtime. Time is up, I think, in fact. Anyway, ladies and gentlemen, I hope you have a great 2 weeks. Next, our next show is going to be with Kenneth Abraham.